WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Critic Code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer. Joined as always by Keishi Matsunaga. Oh, he's not here. But we have the intern.
Oh, I see. So Keishi gets. No, I'm kidding. Kidding. That was last night. We're fine.
No,
we're good.
No. Are you sure? You sure? You
I'm don't sure. Be, we are all good. We are wanna, absolutely all good.
You don't want to be first.
No. We don't need to start over again. That was the bit last night. We're good.
Sure.
Yes.
Are you positive?
Yes, I'm positive because we have to introduce the third member of the show.
Should we?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should because we need to kind of talk about what happened last night.
He also said the stall.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
So are you sure we don't?
I'm sure we can just... Hey, the Cowboys won today.
So the Eagles did.
Eagles tried to give that game away there for a bit.
Eh, it was never given away for a bit. It was always in hand. Defense played great.
Yeah, two lost fumbles though. That's what started happening last year.
I mean, Pittsburgh has a good defense. Let's be real.
I get that, and the fact that Russell Wilson can barely get 200 yards of offense.
You know, it happens. Pittsburgh has a good defense. What's your whom?
Maybe. Maybe it's you and me talking about Sunday or Saturday night. Who knows?
we'll have to.
It's probably just a restart. It's fine. It's great. It's wonderful.
anyway, we're no, here the talking... boy... go ahead.
The boys got their win against Carolina, even though Carolina was favored.
Hey, look! It's the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Stuff on the Internet. Did that work?
No.
Oh, so you can't hear me yet?
No, we can.
I still hear tick, 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 tick.
I hear clicking.
Yeah, I don't know where the clicking is coming from. I've unplugged the mic and plugged it into something else. There's some kind of something going on, and it won't tell me what it is.
Tim's internet is secretly sending out Morse code, if you can decipher it.
Well, it's kind of like those drones over eastern United States. What's up with that?
I don't know, but the clicking is really annoying.
It's really annoying. I don't know why. I'm working on it.
Mute until you do.
But that's an issue. Okay, so tell me something. Can you hear me now?
Yep, yes. I can still hear the clicking.
And you still hear the clicking.
Yes.
I hear clicking. That's just it.
Tim, the best way to describe it, picture if your sink was just dripping water very quickly. That's what it sounds like on our end.
Okay, stop talking for just a quick sec. I enabled listen on there, so I...
All right, I'm muting Tim. I can't do it anymore. We're hard muting him for a second so he can listen to his own sound. I don't need to hear the echo of him hearing himself. He'll bring him back here in a minute, so I'm going to give him a second to figure that out. We're here to talk about Saturday night's main event. There were five big matches, one big crowning of a new champion on the show, Brent. It was an exciting show.
It was exciting, and the best part was it was fun nostalgia. I liked the video wall that they had for the entranceway. So you could project, like, the normal kind of, like, wrestler entrance Tron with it. But when they weren't doing that, it was the old-school neon doorway.
Yeah, they rotated through
that we used
stuff,
to see for, like, that or, like, way back in the day, Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, or the Superstars or whatever. Yeah, it was the old-school set.
Yeah, it was fun to see that.
The long entranceway was cool.
The long entranceway was cool. Well, the funny thing is, it was long, but it was narrow. So it was one of those things like... Oh, go ahead.
It had like that when you... WrestleMania 1 feel where you're walking... They're like so closed in, they can walk through feel.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where it's like, if you were a face, you were like right there in amongst the fans. And you can, you know, like slap high fives and like really get them involved. And if you were a heel, kind of like Kevin or...
Gunther.
Liv, you could play it up where it was like, don't touch me.
Gunther did the same thing. He just held his hands up and walked through the crowd. Also, Tim's unmuted. He can talk whenever he wants.
Okay.
Just letting him know he's unmuted.
But yeah, Gunther was good with that. The one thing I liked was Liv, where he's like, she's making her way through, but you could just see the disgust on her face of like, ew, don't touch me. Just, no, I don't want to deal with this. And it fit with, you know, the way that she's been recently.
Yeah, it fit her gimmick, yeah.
Right. Jesse came out. It felt like Jesse, but of course it feels like 20 years removed, Jesse.
Or as he kept saying, 40 years.
Oh yeah, 40 years removed, Jesse. I haven't been in the WWE for 40 years. It's like, no, you've been here since then, but we get it. It's all good. He was a little slower on some stuff, but it's like some of his quips and some of like the nostalgia stuff he threw in there was really fun to see.
Yeah.
I like that his jacket was supposed to be Damien. And you had Pat kind of sit there for a second like, wait, what? And it's just like, Jake Roberts Snake. And he's kind of like, oh, okay. Oh, Pat.
Pat was on the show, too. It was nice to have him back for the night.
Yep. I mean, it's towards the end of the football season, so he was able to make his appearance for Saturday night.
So he flew from wherever game day was to wherever they were in New York. So,
I think game day was with the Armed Forces Bowl, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Because if that's the case, he just had to come from Baltimore. Because it's right around, they usually have it in D.C. And so he just popped a quick trip up to New York for the show.
Yeah, easy flight for him.
Right.
Yeah, so we had the old school ropes, the old school turnbuckles.
The referee outfits. The old blue with the bow tie. Jessica Carr.
Yeah, it had everything you could possibly want from an old school feel.
With the referee cam as well.
Well, you know, yeah, a little bit new school in there.
I know, but it was one of those things where it's like it was nostalgia, but in a good way, and it's like it was still modern wrestling, but it did give kind of a different feel to it, which was nice to see.
We're going to try to see if we can get Tim to comment on this now. What do you think of the old school feel they used last night?
Well, I was actually half waiting for Jesse to say, well, you know, McMahon, because nostalgia, but
or Gorilla. Yeah, Gorilla would work too.
What's that?
Calling him Gorilla would work too.
Or calling him Gorilla or Monsoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. He never called him Gorilla. He always called him Monsoon. But yeah, no, they brought back that nostalgic feeling. And if you close your eyes and just listen to them talking, you could almost take yourself back to like 1986.
Indeed. Indeed, for sure.
So all right. Yeah, it was kind of fun in a reminiscent sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like a one-off.
Well, I think that's going to be the approach for all of these to make it feel completely different.
I was going to say, we'll find out in a month.
Well, according to Jesse himself, this is what it's supposed to be. I think this is going to be the look. It's like it's going to be the one-off feel where it's an old-school approach, which is fine. It makes the show feel different.
Right. Yeah. It makes it feel special in that respect of like, oh, if you know, you got to check this out to see what it's like and how people will react.
Oh, didn't Jesse say at the end of the broadcast, we'll see you next month on, what did he say, Lafayette?
San Antonio?
Or San Antonio.
Why yeah, January. I have no idea. It's January 25th in San Antonio. Tickets on sale now.
Which is the week before Rumble.
Yep.
Plug, plug, plug.
All right, the show kicked off, though, with Drew McIntyre taking on Sami Zayn.
This match was everything I expected. Sami getting a little bit of offense in, but Drew just being a little bit too powerful for him overall.
Mm-hmm.
I like the story that they're telling with Drew with this.
Well, I was about to bring that up, but go ahead.
In that he's targeting all of the people from the bloodline, the original bloodline. And so it was, you know, yeah, you go after Jay, you go after Sami, you go after Jimmy. Because those are the people who wronged him before, and it's like, he still, you know, even though they've all kind of turned and are more, you know, the fan-friendly version of it now, he's still like, no, these are the people who screwed me, I'm getting my vengeance on them. So he still gets to play the heel in a sense, but it's also... like we've seen with Kevin, there's a little bit of justification there where you're going, I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a point there. They did kind of act like dicks and try to run the WWE for about 4 years, so...
Well, they're handling this great. It's not black and white like it would have been, you know, like, what did I say, 1986? Shades of Gray? And there's points on both sides that could be seen as valid, depending on which way you turn your head and squint your eyes. But you brought up that they're doing the same thing with Kevin Owens. I'm going to pause at something after we finish talking about all the matches, and then we can talk about that really quickly, because they have set up such a number of forks in the road for storylines that they could go down, and you don't know where they're going. And I actually think that's a fantastic thing, because we've bitched and complained for decades about, well, it's so predictable. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. It's I'm feeling cheated, I'm feeling robbed, and they're not wrestling the way I want them to wrestle, and I'm going to cancel my WWE membership. Oh, wait, is that a thing still?
Peacock subscriptions are still a thing. So
Peacock's a thing.
Work at your Netflix. Netflix and chill.
There you go. Yeah, I don't think that I'm going to Netflix and chill Raw.
You never know.
That's just too weird. Anyway, getting back to it. Yeah, Brent is bringing up some very salient points about, you know, you bent me over and I'm not going to put up with it, so I'm coming after you.
Well, and this plays a little bit off of, and I know that, you know, Tim, you had talked about, like, sometimes you don't look at some of the internet stuff that's happened. But if you do know the internet things, he was on Busted Open recently, and he kind of cut it.
I'm gonna cut you off, because I did catch that. And just to let you know, I did, and I've got remarks about it, but continue.
It was an interview where they were kind of asking him, like, hey, what are you, you know, how are you doing kind of nowadays? And he was talking about the fact that he recently went home, and it's the first time he spent extended time at home, in a while, and it was for like a funeral, and he's missed a lot of things in his life, and now he's going out and doing stuff for him. He's like, I've given so much to this business that now I'm like, screw it, I'm in it for me. And, you know, everyone else can essentially kiss my ass. And it's one of the, it's one of those moments where it's like, you know, if it's a shoot, holy shit. If it's a work, it's really well done and really well in character. And you can do, you know, some things with that if you want to, especially because there is a little bit of a partnership with WWE and Busted Open because they've been on like pre-shows and stuff. So if you want to, you could show that footage and it can play into his character the way he is now and everything.
Well, Brent, in the business, we call that a worked shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it had so many people believing him because he could, he dropped an F-bomb in regards to the internet, air quotes, meaning the smart marks, the fans posting about shit and posting shit. And it was brilliant. And this was a throwback to the type of promo that will suck you in and blur that line between fantasy and reality. And I have maintained one of the best promos of all time in the history of professional wrestling was delivered by Archie the Stomper Goldie. And if you haven't seen it, hit YouTube and type in Archie Goldie promo, Bad News, because he cut a promo on Bad News Allen. Bad News Brown in WWF, Bad News Allen in Stampede Wrestling Calgary. But it was that promo by Goldie was essentially the same type of thing that Drew did on Busted Open. And you delivered in a practical monotone your feelings and everything, your emotions and all of that stuff. And it's a case of like you're watching this and then you wind up being full of disbelief, like wow, because you're sucked into actually believing this is real and not the show. And Drew captured that on Busted Open.
So instead of giving it that show any more attention, the match itself.
Well, it was a great podcast. If you didn't catch it, it was good. But the match itself, yeah, back to the match. I said what I said about it. It was exactly what I expected it to be, with the winner being who I said it was going to win.
Drew McIntyre would end up decisively beating Sami Zayn.
And I'm looking at it, December 9th, 2024. Okay, SNME McIntyre over Sami. That was what I said in group chat on Monday night, during Monday Night Raw.
Good job.
Yay. Congratulations.
I don't think anyone really thought Sami had much of a chance.
But yeah, Drew comes out the winner, and it was an extended squash.
In this, Sammy's role was to, you know, eat the claymore and help establish this idea of like Drew's going to start running through the people that were part of the bloodline. Something like Drew and Jay or Drew and Roman
and Jimmy, because he took out Jimmy on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown.
Liv Morgan put the title, her women's world title, on the line against Io Sky.
Good pace to the match. It was pretty tight overall. Io Sky didn't embarrass herself, but then again, you wouldn't expect Io Sky to embarrass herself.
The ending felt like it came out of nowhere, though, for me. It's like they were going along, and then all of a sudden, just boom, finish.
Yeah, I was watching it, and I got the feeling that they were told to hurry up and go home. And I don't know if I need to explain that to anybody listening, what that means.
Maybe, but they also, I think, because it was on network television, they were limited in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So may have not been told to go home. Liv had a bloody nose, but that's about it. Nothing was broken.
I thought for a second when she took that knee to the base that she lost the tooth, because it looked like a tooth flew out of her mouth.
But they checked her for a broken nose. Her nose is not, in fact, broken.
But yeah, she did bleed a bit. It wasn't that bad. I mean, I've seen her bleed worse after matches have no real damage.
Yeah, Brent, I think this was the... Even though we were thinking, hey, they could possibly shake things up with the title change here, this was a win that Liv needed. Like, she needed a solid win over yeah. a credible person.
Well, and we've seen throughout Liv's run, and I talked about this last week, when Liv was competing or, you know, winning her matches, it was always that there were other people involved. You know, Raquel was there, Dom was there. That's the reason why Dom was in the shark cage. But then, of course, Raquel came out, and it's like, oh, you know, now she's involved. There's always been this bit of, like, Liv winning hook or by crook. And so I think she needed a win on her own to prove that she could do it to help kind of establish her, especially with where they're going after this, because, you know, she's going up against someone who, in theory, should physically dominate her. But you need to make her look somewhat credible. Otherwise, you know, we're all just going to expect, okay, here comes the shenanigans again. Lol, Liv's going to win. So she needed something here to help kind of establish the fact of, like, no, she is the champion. She can pull off, you know, the win that she needs to. And Io is a very credible opponent, considering she is former NXT champion, former SmackDown champion. She does have a resume that, if you get a win over her, is like, wow, that's legit.
So Liv Morgan retained. She got confronted by Rhea Ripley after the match. So that's probably where they're headed for the next big match, whether it is at the debut on Netflix, whether it's on next month's Saturday night's main event, or even the Royal Rumble. That seems to be the next big title match for Liv Morgan. The World's Heavyweight Championship is on the line. Gunther defending against Finn Balor and Damian Priest.
Gunther's kind of the third wheel in this feud right now.
Yes and no, but continue.
I know he's champion, but it's like the main part of this is Damian and Finn, and it's like they both want the title, but they also both want to just screw each other. So, like, Gunther is just kind of there. Not in a bad way, because, I mean, he's still physically imposing within the match and feud, but it's just like the main focus is on the other two guys.
Yeah. Like I said, yes, but no. Imagine this. The Judgment Day has interfered in enough of Gunther's matches that he's fed up. We already know the tension and problems between Damian Priest and Judgment Day. Who holds the tag title belts?
The Judgment Day.
Now, just imagine, if you will, and I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not saying I even believe it, but I am saying it's definitely an outside possibility. Imagine Damian teaming up with Gunther to take on Judgment Day for the tag titles.
I think there is 0.0 chance that happens.
Yeah, that's what you think, but you've been wrong once or twice before in your life.
I also expect that the War Raiders to hold the belts tomorrow night. So
yeah, that's likely to happen.
Yeah, that's why I give you a 0.0.
If it doesn't, that 0.0 has to come up a few notches.
It's still 0.0. I don't expect that to happen, but that's just me.
That's just you.
That was a good match.
It was a good match. I just want to say, at the end of it, I know Finn has the shotgun dropkick
mm-hmm.
that we normally see, but holy shit, when Gunther delivered that to Finn, it looks 10 times like worse, and I don't mean in like, oh, he didn't deliver it well. I mean, it looks 10 times worse as in, oh god, I thought Finn was going to become part of the turnbuckle. Because he hit him, Finn bounced off of that, and then Gunther hit that fold-up powerbomb that he does, and yeah, that was just like, that came out of nowhere, but in a good way, considering that it's like, we had Finn and Damian kind of working each other towards the very end of the match, and like I said, Gunther felt a little bit like the third wheel, but then he's kind of asserted himself of, no, I'm going to end this. So when he hit the, well, eventually hit the power bomb on Damian Priest on the stairs, it took him a minute, and then he hit the two moves on Finn, it was just like, with that, it felt believable of like, yeah, Gunther can just end this instantly. And he did.
Yeah, that power bomb to Damian on the stairs kind of sort of had me holding my breath for a second because of that misstep.
It took him a bit to get someone like Damian up, but it's also like, it's a good way of getting Damian out of the finish, because it's like, yeah, if you get a power bomb delivered on the stairs, you're not going to be sliding in to break up the pin. Or if you are, it's probably on a show on Wednesday night, because mm-hmm. you know that move just doesn't matter anymore. But here, it's like, yeah, you took out a big guy with a big impactful move, and it's like, you didn't expect to see him at the end.
Very good match, very good storytelling, very well delivered.
There was also one other kind of scary bit with Damian doing kind of, you know, the big man Undertaker fly over the top rope move and...
flipping. Stop that. He should... Yeah.
Well, and this one wasn't the, like, okay, I'm going to step off of the ropes to do it like he used to. This was, like, he just tried to clear. And part of me thinks a little bit it was on Gunther because Gunther seemed a little far back. That's why only, like, the legs hit him.
He also just didn't get the distance I think he was hoping. So, it happens. But maybe he should stop.
Yeah, it's one of those where, you know, Taker stopped doing it after a while. So, maybe...
When Taker planted his head into the ground, I mean, you know...
But Taker's like 100 years old. He had to stop for health reasons. And the fact that when you get up to be that age, you can't do that shit no more.
I mean, technically... Kinda? Undertaker. When did he do that move last?
Old school?
No, we're talking about the dive where he planted his head on the...
Oh, the dive, yeah.
What year was that, Brent? Do we remember?
Wasn't that WrestleMania 24?
24, so 16 years ago?
Yeah, it was the first match with Shawn where he went over the top and Domino did not catch him.
So it was 25, so 15 years ago. Means Taker was 44 at that point. Damien's 42, so maybe you should stop to think and maybe pull back on that one. They're roughly the same age at that point.
Pretty close to it, yeah.
Yeah, that was more the point. They probably should, like, maybe think about pulling it out of the repertoire. Just a thought, maybe. Who knows?
There you go.
Anyway, Gunther is still your world's heavyweight champion. We'll see who's next to step up against him. It was the crowning. It was the first ever WWE Women's United States Championship match. Chelsea Green, Meechin.
Don't you dare crow, Brent.
Chelsea Green!
You actually did that better than what's her name, the announcer.
Lillian? Well, she's not used to it. That was a Samantha thing. Samantha was the one who really kind of hit that.
Mm-hmm. The crowd really loved Chelsea Green.
Because she absolutely owns her gimmick. She, ever since she came back, and I mean... Remember, everyone shat on WWE and the presentation they did for her because what was her first major event when she came back to the main roster?
What?
Royal Rumble, when she lasted like three or four seconds. She got tossed out by Rhea, and everyone's like, oh my god, I can't believe they did that to her. What the hell is this? And it's like, okay guys, hang on. She's a comedy person. There's a reason for this.
She's a comedy person, but she's someone who maximizes every single second that she's on television and makes sure you know that she's there. She owns whether it's a minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, she owns it and makes it her own.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw that back in TNA when she did the crazy gimmick. It's like when she was on screen, you were watching her because she was so over the top that it's like you couldn't help it. With this... It's like she's been able to own, like, the whole Karen aspect. And, you know, her and Piper work great together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, the fact that she came out with pictures of herself all over her just fit. It was just perfect for, like, how she was supposed to be. And, of course, right before the match hit, I was like, I wonder if they're going to touch on this. And the first thing they said was, remember... Most recently, these two faced off in that dumpster match, and it's like, there it is. You're gonna call back to it because everyone is probably going to look at this and go, oh, Chelsea's not going to be a champion here,
okay,
but they made her legit.
I don't remember. I thought I heard it, but I could have been mistaken. Did they reference Meechin winning the TNA title at some point?
Yes. They talked about the fact of Meechin's first, or like, Meechin and Chelsea faced off in TNA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought I remember hearing that on commentary last night. Yeah.
It was right as they were first squaring off.
Yeah. That's what
they were referencing that. And it was like, okay, TNA reference. All right.
TNA reference on NBC. So that's fitting.
But I mean, I was going to say, like, in all of the spots that they've put her in since that first Rumble where she did her 3 minute or her 3 second elimination. And, you know, she owned it with, like, I'm going to talk to the GM, I'm going to the manager about this. Like, every spot they put her in, she's delivered. And we can talk about, like, the Money in the Bank, where she did the spot through the two tables. Or, you know, when she was, like, afraid to climb the ladder and she had to, like, try and scurry up it. Everything she did in that match, it's like, yes, she's selling it, she's taking it to 110% the way you want it to. And last night was that moment where it's kind of like, okay, you've earned this. And they even acknowledged it, you know, when Hunter was saying, like, you know, it's been a long road, but you finally got here. And he does, you know, the point with the title. And someone else put a picture up of, like, Chelsea way back in the day at Tough Enough. And it's like, yeah, she's had a long road. She's paid her dues. She's fought her way. And so if you want to have someone that is going to be an inaugural champion and care, you know, like, try to add a little something to this belt, she can do it.
I agree. And Chelsea Green is your first ever Women's United States champion, Tim.
Yeah, she is. And I'm saying it that way only because I picked Meechan. But hey, I do believe that when we were predicting who was going to be in the final, I got them both right.
I got them both right, and I got the winner right.
Yeah, shut up.
Same.
Anyway. Like I said, for this one, if you were going to give it to someone and you wanted, like, her walking out with that belt and, like, not a coronation, but just the, like, I told you so, and just have it dripping with just personality, it's going to be her.
I can't wait for the, like, big promo, first in-ring promo with the belt, or something backstage with it.
Next Friday night on SmackDown.
2 weeks on SmackDown, probably the real first one that you can...
Oh, yeah, because this one's taped.
This was already taped.
So, I mean, unless they do a backstage segment, which hopefully they don't, because she needs to be out in front of the fans for it.
That's what I mean, one with a crowd, with an actual crowd that can hear it, and not fake noise.
Yeah.
So in 2 weeks. Unless she's on Raw, but I doubt it. I think it'll be in 2 weeks on SmackDown. All right, your main event was...
Are they going to do a live one right before New Year's?
Yes. They're back live on the 27th.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Because they're going on the road starting on the 26th for all the house shows and stuff, so they'll be live for that.
Gotcha.
Cody Rhodes defending the Undisputed WWE Championship against Kevin Owens in your main event.
This match was not given the time that it deserved. Of course, there were constraints.
Yeah, everything got the same, basically same
8 minutes.
10 to 12 minutes. Women got 8 and 9, the men got 10, 11, and this one got 12.
But what I'm saying is these two guys deserve a good 30 minutes of going back and forth against each other.
And they'll get it.
Hey?
They're going to get it.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get it. You're not going to put Kevin Owens in the ring with Cody Rhodes and get a bad match.
You're also, I don't think, going to get Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes in a ring in the very, very near future, if they're smart.
Oh, no, you've got to build that up. And we're talking past WrestleMania, not at WrestleMania.
No, they're going to be back in the ring with each other, probably at Royal Rumble.
Rumble is about the time that I think you can have them together again. It's just Cody can't be out there in 2 weeks with what happened.
Without selling it somehow, whether it be a neck brace or something.
And we'll talk about that after we finish talking about the match, because it's happened off camera.
I feel like, yeah, I'll save that part for... But
I mean, let's just talk about it. Cody beat Kevin. Kevin had complaints because the referees got taken out multiple times. And then after the match, he attacked.
But Cody did exactly what he said he was going to. And as much as Jesse Ventura was playing up the whole, you know, he's a cheater, he's this, like, you know, Jesse should, because he's that way. What did Cody tell Kevin when they were yelling at each other in that promo when Kevin was on the announce table?
What did
he said essentially, Kevin, you said that that you'll cross any line now because you hate me. I will cross any line I have to. There's no line I won't cross, is what he told Kevin Owens in that promo. So when you had that moment with the chair and Cody's going to hit the crossroads and he looks down and sees it and goes, okay, and hits the crossroads on it, it was that going back to that moment that he said of like, you've taken out Randy with a pile driver, which is a, you know, a banned move. He's got a bad neck. It was a very low blow, uncalled for kind of thing. You want to try and do that? I'm not going to hesitate because you tried to introduce this chair into this match. So not my fault. So as much as Kevin wants to do the conspiracy and the officials are against him, again, it's remember, Kevin introduced the chair and he's the one that basically told Cody, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And Cody's like, you're right. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to do, you know, to you as well. He was a man of his word.
The only cringe part I had is Cody Rhodes took the steel chair directly, entirely on his back on that move.
Well,
now, yeah. Let me just expand and explain this. Best way to protect your opponent, make it look like to the live audience that you're doing something devastating, like delivering your finisher onto the steel chair. You're going to make sure that you land on it to protect your opponent. My gripe is the camera catching it.
It happens.
That's, you know, and it's my gripe's not with Cody and Kevin at all, because they were nearly flawless in that match last night. I just wish that the cameraman, and this is one of those things you just can't do anything about it. I just wish the cameraman had been standing a little bit further to camera right, just by a few steps. Then it wouldn't have been so blatant.
So after the match, Kevin was upset and, well, attacked.
Oh, dropped. Wait, but before we get to what he did to Cody, did we made mention at all about the Winged Eagle belt?
Oh yeah, he had the Winged Eagle. Woo.
It's pretty.
My all-time favorite WWE championship belt.
Great belt. It just it was cool. He got his wish, but I don't know. Unless Kevin uses it to torment him afterwards.
Well, the belt will come up again after we talk about what Kevin did to Cody.
So can now I talk about it?
Kind of go get for there. It.
So Kevin Owens decided to, well, get some revenge. He attacked Cody Rhodes after the match, dropping him with a package pile driver, leading to Cody Rhodes being stretchered out of the arena, Kevin leaving with the championship belt, getting into a confrontation with Triple H, and still leaving with the Winged Eagle WWE championship.
Hunter had a mad. Hunter was not happy.
Hunter did such a good job. There are people on socials yapping about him and coming back to the ring.
That
I don't know if you've read any of them.
No, but that's another 0.000% chance of happening.
Oh, it's not even that high. But, man.
And we've talked about this ever since they've done the things with, like, Kevin. That, you know, Kevin's first confrontation with Cody outside the bus. And how that was, you know, hey, we're not usually supposed to, you know, we're not supposed to see this. But it just so happens this found footage has made its way around. And it was the same with Damian and Finn last time. And now Kevin and Triple H at the entryway. It's those things that, like, normally were just for the people who are around there. Or in this case, it would have been the house crowd would have seen that and been like, oh, and just kind of disseminate it, which it turned into. But it gives that extra little oomph of like, stuff doesn't just end when the credits hit and the cameras are, you know, finished rolling. Like, there's other stuff that's happening now. So it's like you have to kind of pay attention and keep your ear out of like, ooh, what happened? You know, oh, now they can lead into Monday night or SmackDown talking about, oh, did you see what happened with Kevin Owens and Cody after the show? And it's like, oh, okay.
A lot of extra camera footage for them to run it tomorrow night and talk about to set more stuff up.
Yeah, they posted not the Hunter Kevin stuff, but they posted the stretcher stuff on socials.
Yeah. We'll probably see the Hunter Kevin. We might see the Hunter Kevin stuff tomorrow night.
No, I don't expect us to see it. I expect them to. It'll be one of those. We're gonna keep that in house type thing. Like they're gonna make Cole will make some sort of comment that they're not gonna talk about it or whatever. Address it. It's gonna be addressed internally, like they did the first time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe. But earlier I said something about Damian Priest teaming up with Gunther to take on Judgment Day, and I was absolutely not serious about that. But one avenue that did open up is eventual tag team partnership, alliance, what have you, between Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre. And that is more than 0.0. They're both basically on the same trajectory to wipe out members of the bloodline that they feel betrayed them or buggered them up or whatever.
No, because Kevin's more about Cody and not the rest of the bloodline. He's more focused on Cody at the moment and getting the title rather than the other Usos or anyone like that.
Well, no. At this point, it's a case of it's a storyline that is not ruled out and is a distant possibility. And it is, like I said, higher than a 0.0 chance.
I mean, at some point you'll get a tag match because they're going to probably do a lot of those. Let's get multi-man matches on Netflix with a lot of stars type matches.
Right. So with what we saw, because probably when Cody and Kevin face off next time, it will have a stip.
Yeah.
We've seen them two matches head to head. Cody's picked them up. Do you see this more stretcher match?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's going to go Hell in a Cell.
No, you could do cage. You could do last man standing. You don't do stretcher match because that's too anticlimactic for what they're doing. Especially with the way the WWE does it.
Yeah.
It would be too hokey.
Okay. Well, I was trying to relate it to the fact of, like, because he's, you know, Randy and him, or Randy and Cody, I didn't know if they would play up that a little bit more.
I mean, they could. I think they could do maybe an ambulance match, but I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, housekeeping?
Housekeeping. All right. So we had 11 people participate in our Pick'em Challenge.
Where was our 12th?
What?
Where was our 12th?
I don't know. He maybe pushing rocks on ice?
Yeah, Cash. Anyway, go on.
So, in tied for 10th place, going 1-4, we had the 8-Ball and Subway.
Nice.
Tied for 6th place, going 3-2, so over 500, yay, is myself, Sarah, Sheila, and the Wheel of Fun. I thought there would be two title changes here, and I was mistaken.
Yeah, you were really wrong.
Well, I thought with this, you know, the first show, they would want to make it a little bit must-see, and I thought, you know, a big title change would make it so that when January rolled around, it was like, ooh, I need to tune in because there could be something big that happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it was the inaugural Women's U.S. Championship. And that's why I didn't pick a title change.
You also picked the champion wrong.
On the U.S. women. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what? So what? I did. I got the no title changes correct, and there were two of them.
And that's great. You still?
Shut up, Brent. Move on.
Okay. Tied for second place, then, is Lindsay, Rob, Rock, and Tim going 4-1, with the one being Chelsea Green.
Shut up.
Tied for first place, or I'm sorry, and in sole place of first place, we have Tommy going 5-0. So good for him.
Tommy, which Tommy? Tommy from where? Tommy who?
Tommy C.
Tommy C. The listener.
Yeah. Long time.
Is Tommy C. The listener. The long time listener.
Yes.
Congratulations, Tommy.
That'll do it. For a show, though, Tim.
That'll do it for tonight. We're
done.
That's
it. We're done.
But Green Bay and Seattle are still playing, and Green Bay's leading 23-13.
Congrats to them.
Let me ask you something. What is the worst uniform in the NFL, in your opinion, right now, Rock?
I'm thinking about that.
You're thinking about that.
Tampas are not great.
The red Tampas aren't bad.
Eh. The bright green ones for Seattle are crap.
I would say Cleveland.
Their white Cleveland's ones aren't bad.
The whites are nothing.
No, the whites with the black pants. Not bad.
The yellowish green that Seattle's wearing tonight have got to be the worst. They look like onesies.
It's a neon green.
The highlighters aren't bad.
They're awful. It's awful.
Absolutely terrible. Anyway, thanks for tuning in tonight, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our review of Saturday Night's Main Event. If you watched it last night, we hope you enjoyed Saturday Night's Main Event. And if you're around tomorrow, we hope you enjoy Raw. And immediately following Raw is the post show.
It is, in fact, the Raw post show live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night's Raw, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk a little bit more about Saturday night's main event, get Lindsay's opinion on that, plus all the news and notes. It's Thrack Live, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. CB Radio is live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to have ChatGPT says about, I think we're doing what? It's like Christmas movies? Yeah, I think that's what we're doing. I was getting to that. And Brent's favorite segment of the year. The Excalibur challenge for AEW's next pay-per-view.
Really enthused, Rob.
Oh, I can hardly wait because three of the matches are all reliant upon their fucking round robin tournament that we won't know about until the week of the show. And even then, it's like, okay, fine. They'll have some fun matches, whatever. But, Rock, did you see some of the other matches they've announced, like the international title match?
No. And we'll talk about it on Saturday. Okay.
Yeah.
And just remember, sign of the week, put the Jacob Fatu in Fortnite.
What, one day?
What, did you
I love you, Solo!
Yeah.
That's just
that was the second one.
Yeah. Anyway, we might be back next Sunday if there's something to talk about. Figure
maybe
it out.
Maybe it's kind of soft this time of the year because, you know, Christmas.
Holiday weekend, holiday all that stuff. We'll see.
One of the next 2 weeks, and I would assume, I want to just call it now, probably we'll be back in 2 weeks and we'll do our year-end review show. And go over predictions in 2 weeks.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. We'll figure that part out. We're going to do some end of the year type stuff the next time this show's back. We'll figure out the date and time and stuff for that. Stay tuned to the socials at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. At WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's on socials.
I am. Follow me at Flames Forums. It's a very, very, very necessary thing because I actually post the most important stuff in the world at Flames Forums.
I don't endorse whatever he just said, but follow him anyhow. Brent's on social.
Yeah, I'm on a bunch of different socials. You can find me on X or Twitter or the new version of X or Twitter, which is Blue Sky, or Threads, or Instagram, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. You should be able to tell which one is me.
There you go.
Remember, chat, if you have Amazon Prime Link, your Twitch account is called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button on the screen. And Tim said you can get Jacob Fatu maybe one day in Fortnite Battle Royale, the ultimate Battle Royale experience. Doing so when he's there, or when Snoop Dogg or Carol G, Lady Gaga, The Weeknd, Spider-Man, and others are in there. Use critical rock and sock.
I love how you said that. Spider-Man. As Spider-Man. To Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
There's Spider-Man. There are many different Spider-Men. There's
Spider-Man.
Many of them.
There's Spider-Man.
Why are you saying it like that? Spider-Man and Batman.
Spider-Man's.
Because it's funny that way.
It's a reference to the Goldbergs, kids.
It's funny. Anyway, use credit code Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store because hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you very much. We're going to catch you basically in 2 weeks unless something extremely earth-shatteringly important happens that we have to be here next Sunday night. So that being said, have a wonderful week. And if we don't catch you before the 25th, Merry Christmas to you. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.